why God's not fighting our battles sometimes. Could it be you're over here, outside the boundaries of his protection? He says, as long as you stay in here, I fight your battles. Now, when you get in there, not everybody that's still in there can stay in there. When you take over, not everybody that was in your life can stay in your life. When God comes into your life, like he's going to deliver them into the hands, they're going to take and deliver them away from their one enemy and drive out another enemy. That's what he did. He took them out of the hands of one enemy, drove out the other enemy, and put them in place. He said, you can't keep those enemies. You can't keep those enemies. So he says, thou shalt make no covenant with them. I don't want you to make marriage covenant with them. I don't want to make living agreements with them. There's no God that you can serve other than the one that delivered you. That's it. Don't make any covenant with them. Because they shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. That's why you can't have relationships with people that try to stay in your boundaries and are not wanting to serve your God. Because they will make you sin. And he said, it will be a snare unto thee. If you think you can cohabitate with the world and have God too, you are mistaken. As was already read, come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will be a Lord and a God unto you. All right. So once the bounds of their habitation was set, from this river to this desert to the river of the Philistines, once the boundaries were set, then they meted it out. They measured it out so that Gad said, this stake right here is where my property starts. You be Gad. You be Simeon's wife. Okay. And he could say, this is my property. He said, this is my property. So the line was clear. I'm on your side now. You see? Do you understand what I'm saying? When you meet it out, it's a straight line. It's a measurement. It's not a general thing. When you get an abstract from the courthouse, it's a precise thing. And they'll put a stake down or scratch something on the concrete so you can pop a line and say, that's my property. You're on my side. You built your fence on my side. If the limbs of a man's tree goes over there, you can eat those oranges. Trust me, I know. They do all the time. They come and get mine on my side of the fence. I don't know what it is about oranges. People like to steal, but they do. But that's what happens. And the problem is, anytime you draw this line, you got to abide by it. It doesn't become just the enemy's line or the neighbor's line. It's your line too. Now what you judged out, you're going to be judged by. Now what you meted out, you're going to be met back to you. All right? Okay, stay with me. We're going a little deeper. So the tribes meted out their property. They had landmarks that they had put down, and that's why he said, remove not the landmark, because that's where they meted it out at. That was the place they could pull the rope and say, this is my property. It wasn't about here and about here. It's right here. Okay? So I'm talking about setting the meets and the bounds. And so they had to remember where it was at. And sometimes it get covered up with debris and I had to keep digging it up. But what you mete out will be met back to you. Where you draw the line for somebody else, you just drew your line too. This is what I want to teach you. When you draw the line for somebody else, you just drew your line. You just judge yourself. My Lord, I don't like to be judged. And I hope you're understanding me tonight. I'm not getting on anybody, not trying to say, I just don't want to be one of them straight liners. You know what I'm saying? One of them straight liners can't live by it themselves. You get so straight that you set your line so tight, you can't live it. God sets the boundaries. Hear me. God sets the boundaries. You mete it out. God set their boundaries. The river, the desert, the river of the Philistines, you mete it out. And so when we live for God, I want to show you here, as time permits, we have boundaries that God has put in our word, in the word of God. You're going to meet it out. It's you that's going to determine, pop the line here. pop it here. This is mine. I don't do this. I don't do that. And you shouldn't either. And maybe they shouldn't. But is it your business? Stay with me. So we get to the New Testament. And we find out that this same concept of meets and bounds. Y'all still got that good and tight? You getting tired? You okay? By tomorrow, you'll be tired. You know. And that's the problem when you set a line. Oh, it's cool when you first said it. Yeah, oh, bless God, they shouldn't have done that. I tell you, my kids will never do that. I'd never do that. And life's got a way of zipping your mouth up. And before long, you get tired of holding that line. You start, well, maybe, you know, I shouldn't have been so hard, you know. Okay, so he says in the New Testament, be ye therefore merciful as your Father. How many of you would like to have a merciful father? Thank God I had a merciful father. And David had a merciful father. And Melanie had a merciful father. And I want them to be a merciful father and a merciful mother. Because if they're not, what you mete out will be met back to you. Judge not. I tell you, that's the hardest thing for, you know, church folks are the hardest. Sinners are easy to preach to. Church folks are tough. Because they want to act like there's nothing wrong in their life. Sinners will tell you, I need God. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. So where you draw the line for someone else, it becomes your line too. Okay? And if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. If you judge, you just got judged. If you condemn, you're going to be condemned by the same line that you condemn others. Then he said in that 38th verse of Luke 6, give. Oh yeah, give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure, see, that's where the meat comes from. The same measure that ye meet withal shall be measured to you again. If you give somebody 6 7/8, then guess what? You get 6 7/8. If you don't want to cut anybody any slack, then guess what? You don't get any slack either. Whatever you mete out as judgment, see, that judgment's to the line. He said, I'll lay judgment to the line. Anytime you give judgment and you condemn, that's meting it out. That becomes a call, right? That's a straight line. This is the way I see it. Well, guess what? You just judged yourself. You now have to tote the line. Give like you want to receive. I don't give to receive, but I give and I do receive. And I receive just like I gave. For he that gives bountifully shall receive bountifully. He said, the liberal heart shall be made fat. When you give out of your heart, you shall men give into your bosom back to you in your heart. So if you're lenient and understanding with others and their mistakes and so forth, God will be lenient with you. But if you're hard-nosed and hard-lined and it's black and it's white, well, that's what I'm going to tell you something. That's going to come back to hurt you. And I'm going to show you why. God sets the bounds. He gives us this word. You notice how many generalities are in the Bible? And you know what we fight over? The specifics. We don't fight over the boundaries. We fight over the meat, M-E-T-E. We fight over the finite things, not the boundaries. So when we look at Acts 17 and 26, Paul has come upon this group at Mars Hill. They're praying to this unknown God. They're very superstitious people, and Paul is going to witness to them. And he said, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. It is God that will determine the bounds of where we live, and not just physically. And even when you look physically, you look, there were separations between different nationalities of people by waterways. You cross a major waterway, they don't look like you do on the other side. That was the bounds of their habitation. that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. For in him we live. There we go. In him I live and I move and I have my being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. I'm going to live in the confines that he lived because I am his offspring. I want to live like Christ lived. A Christ, let that mind that was in Christ be also in you. Christ didn't want to cross the boundaries. He wanted to stay within. He said, I only do what I was sent to do. Oh my. And the problem is that we most of us agree on the bounds, but what we don't agree on is the meets. We pick and choose what we want to meet out. And the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 3:16, here we go, Brother Valentine. Know ye not, I want to give you an example. Okay, this is a boundary verse. It's a boundary verse. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Do we not know that? I mean, you ask any denomination, they will tell you, I believe this scripture, that we are, our body is the temple of the living God. We don't argue the boundary. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. See, back to where the boundaries that Moses dealt with. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So this sounds very similar to what I already told you. Set the boundaries. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. So we all agree on this scripture that, the Bible says that we're the temple of the Lord, and if you defile the temple, then him, he's going to destroy, you're going to hell. And you're defiling it doing something else. They defiling it one way, and you're defiling it another way. But you bring up what they defile it with, but don't bring up what I defile it with. But when you condemn them, you just condemned yourself. You just condemned yourself. Because what you have to live by, see, y'all got to keep toting that line. You got to keep toting that line. And long as you got to keep toting that line, after a while you get tired of toting that line and you find out that line is detrimental to you. So my question is, we all agree on the boundary of not defiling the temple of God. But what constitutes defiling the temple of God? There's where we get into our arguments. There's where we start. We've got to be careful what we preach there. Now, we can say the general boundaries. My property goes here around that tree. And we can say, don't defile the temple of God. Whosoever believeth on the Lord shall be saved. We can preach them general boundaries. But when you get to the meat, M-E-T-E, there's where we have the problem. And even in our own organization and denominations, the thing is, we all agree that, you know, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Ghost, you know, and live a holy, separated life. Well, what's a separated life? And so you'll get one church, I'm just being real here tonight, you'll get one church that will send you to hell for wearing a ring. You get another church that believes you're supposed to wear rings. You're supposed, that's holy matrimony. Same denomination. Same denomination. And they won't fellowship each other. Why? They meted it out, that's why. As long as you got the boundaries, we hey, brother, hey, sister, how are you? How's God been good to you? Been good to me? Boy, we've been having good church over here. People been getting the Holy Ghost. That's good. But I don't believe in that. So y'all don't go to that church and fellowship with them because they don't live the way we do. Yo, let me tell you, you just judge yourself. And you bring in judgment to your own church. Because what you meet out, he said, my brethren, this ought not be. Why are you devouring one another? My brethren, this ought not be. I'll tell you why. Because you're trying to meet it out. Let me tell you, you meet out your life. You meet out your life, you and him together. And you meet out you, and you meet out, and I'll meet out mine. So work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I got some boundaries I like to teach, I like to preach, and I'll teach you where I meet it out. But I'm just telling you, if you meet somebody else out, then what happens is, you know, it's like Paul and the pork. You remember the story there where some of them wouldn't eat pork, and Paul said, well, it's okay, I don't see nothing wrong with it, but I'll tell you, I won't eat any more pork at all if it's going to offend my brother. That's where I draw the line. Well, where he draw the line didn't bother the other ones. He said, don't bother my conscience to eat in front of people that don't understand. They're stupid. They don't understand. It's ignorant of the scripture. But Paul said, no, you don't understand. It's better that you don't offend them. So that's where Paul drew the line. Are you still with me? So be careful where you mete out your habitation. Be careful where you mete out where you live. But I don't want you to live at large either. I don't want you to say, well, it doesn't really matter. But I do want you to know what you mete out will be met back to you. Amen. So we need to have some guidelines and some places where I have places in my life that I go, you know, this is as far as I go. You know, I think this is the line for me. And I pray I lead you where God's brought me. But I'm not saying you're lost if you do things I don't do. That's not what I'm here for. And I'm going to show you this. Christ quarantined himself to pray 40 days. He didn't bring anybody with him. Elijah didn't bring anybody with him. He got in the cave, he didn't bring anybody with him. He went in the cave by himself. He fasted 40 days by himself. He was alone. He had one servant here and there and yonder, but that was about it. And so he didn't force his disciples. He fasted 40 days. He didn't even force his disciples to fast 40 days. He said the time will come when they will, but why fast they while the bridegroom is with them? So the reason our churches struggle is because that we get too finite. And what happens is anytime you draw lines, somebody else has a line inside of that line. John was kind of wandering around one day. I guess he was away from Jesus for a little while, and he ran into some people that were casting out devils in Jesus' name. You remember that, Brother Johnson? John was a little upset. Now, this John's close to Jesus, you know. He's close. And he goes back to Jesus and he said, hey, we found some men over here and they were casting out devils and they were using your name. And we told them to follow us and they wouldn't do it. You got to do it the way I do it. You got to follow the man like I follow the man. You can't be out here and do that without following him like I follow him. He rebuked him. He said, you don't know what spirit you are of. They said, shall we call down fire from heaven and consume them like Elias did, these bunch of rebels? He said, you don't know what spirit you are of. And he rebuked the very one that leaned on his breast and said, who's it going to betray you? Amen. He said, the Son of Man, right after he rebuked them, this is what he said. The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. If your life is in shambles today, I assure you it's not God's fault. He did not come. He said an enemy, a thief, is the one that comes and seeks to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I come that you might have life and have it more abundant. I come to repair. And you know, I was thinking just, I told Jerry this today or yesterday. I get my days mixed up. But, you know, when you think about the Holy Ghost and how it leads you and guides you, can I tell you most people don't follow it? Can I tell you that? They don't follow it until they need restoration. And so what happens is that, you see, when Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, he came, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now watch, he didn't say to keep them from going to prison, to keep them from getting bruised, to keep them from getting cut, to keep them out of sin. He didn't say any of those things. He didn't say keep them from anything. What he did say was to restore, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to bind up broken heart. You see, that's what the Holy Ghost can do. Is we know where to go. It's not if I fall, brothers and sisters, it's when I fall. You see, if you think you're not going to fall, you are sorely mistaken. It is not if I fall, when I fall. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies, for when I fall, I shall rise again. So the Holy Ghost helps restore us. Thank God for the restore, because you're going to fall. If a righteous man falls seven times, well, he didn't use a wicked man falls seven. He said a righteous man falls seven times. He said restore him seven times. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It is a restorer. It doesn't always keep you. And yes, Paul did talk about it can keep you from falling. Yes, it can. We're hard-headed, though. So we need a restorer in our life. I got to move on. I'm almost done. So don't get outside the bounds of your habitation. So God gives us these boundaries, boundary scriptures. But you and I have to work it out with our own soul salvation. And if we're not careful, we can get so strict that we can't live it ourselves. James said it this way, and I close with his writings. He said, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." What you mete out, you see, you may say, "I would never do that," but over here, Yeah, you're cheating on your taxes over here, but "I would never do that." Well, yeah, but you're doing this. And if you're guilty in one point, you're guilty as he is over here, or she is. Same guilt. You're guilty of everything. Or you understand me? So what you mete out is met back to you. "For he that said, 'Do not commit adultery,' said also, 'Do not kill.' Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law, the whole law. So speak ye, and so do, as they shall be judged by the law of liberty." I like that. I tell people, now don't y'all repeat this. I'm a liberal. I'm a liberal. Now, I don't mean that in like Democrat and Republican and all that kind of stuff. The Bible says a liberal soul shall be made fat. I'm a giving person. I'm liberal. And he said, when you become liberal, I'll judge you liberally. I'll judge you liberally. And when you forgive liberally, I'll forgive you liberally. And when you don't condemn, I won't condemn. And I'm going to treat you like you treat others. You know the story of the guy that didn't pay, he owed his Lord, and he said, "Forgive me." And he owed like 500 pence. He said, I forgive you of everything. When he asked for more time, and he goes out and chokes the other guy and said, "Pay me the 50 cents you owe me." He said, and when the Lord heard that, he called him back in and said, "Hey, now, buddy, go back into the jail until you pay every mite. Because what you met out, you're meeting back." Oh, I wish I could teach y'all something here tonight. My Lord. "For ye shall have judgment without mercy, and have shewed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth." I'm telling you, against judgment. Mercy laughs in the face of judgment. Mercy says, "Nana, nana, boo, boo." Mercy is when you get across the Red Sea and then sang they the songs of Zion. Woo, the Lord has triumphed us over the horse and his rider. Lord, they were drowning. But judgment, you know, mercy laughs in the face. God was merciful to them and got them across and brought judgment to their enemies. My. "For whosoever looketh to the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." It didn't say shall be blessed indeed. It shall be blessed in his deed. It's like the man that meditates on the Lord day and night. He shall be like the tree that's planted by the water. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You tired of holding that now? No? You got to go home like that. You can drop it now. And that's what we ought to do. And that's what we ought to do. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Appreciate y'all participating with me. I'm a hard taskmaster, but did you get any?